you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this morning's message was titled, Making the Old Seem New, or Making the Familiar Seem New. So how do you make snowfall on a Sunday morning seem new? We did this last week. And believe it or not, there were people in other parts of the country who love this weather, who dream of going to a snowy place. Me? Meh, not so sure about that. But I'd like to reflect on the similarities between Matthew and Luke and some of the questions that it may provoke. So where did this sermon get preached? On a plain or on a mountain? Why was it preached in two different places? Well, Jesus had a lot of good things to say. And one of the challenges of preaching extemporaneously is that when I deliver a sermon that people really, really respond to, I don't have the text. You know, if I want to go watch a video of it, I can find it on our website. But I can't just pull out the manuscript. Jesus clearly had some things he wanted to say to people. And sometimes it was to large crowds, and other times, like in this passage, he was speaking to his followers. So we read at the beginning of today's lesson, looking at the disciples, he said. Looking. So imagine that. God is looking at you. Looking at someone shows that you're paying attention, that you're interested in at the moment. And that can be a reassuring thing. Now think about how God had been conceived up in the ancient world before them. God was often out there. God was sometimes an idol. God wasn't someone with whom you could have a relationship. And we see in the Hebrew Bible that is challenged. That yes, God may have been out there, but the God of Israel was clearly one with whom people could have a relationship. Jesus took that a step further. So as God showed up here on earth. But let's look at some of the differences between Luke and Matthew. So Matthew tells us, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Luke tells us, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Notice the difference? Matthew spiritualizes things. I can't tell you why, but I will tell you that Luke clearly was focused on the marginalized in society. And you may remember the Magnificat, Mary's great song at the beginning of this gospel, when she rejoices in what God is doing in her and through her. And she says that the rich were going to get theirs, and God would take care of the poor. Then we hear in Luke, blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. In Matthew, we read, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You notice that difference? There's that need for food, actual food, that will get you through the day, and then a desire for righteousness. Now, I don't want to speak for everyone here, but I assume most people here have access to a meal every day. May not be the best meal, but it's good. We are not living in a starvation society. Yet we know there are people who hunger. That's one of the reasons we run our open door ministry. And while we're running the Super Bowl, which you can still give to through tomorrow. But those gifts of food make a difference to people. And sharing what we have on our tables with those who don't have anything on their tables is a command from God. Now, there's stuff here where you can see some divergences. There is no talk about the meek in Luke. But there is talk about what will happen when people despise you. So here in Luke we hear, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. That is pretty serious stuff. To be excluded because of your allegiance to Jesus is something that doesn't happen in our society the way it did 2,000 years ago in the Roman Empire. Now people may scoff at you, they may wonder about your political views, they may think that you're narrow-minded. But what's the response to that? It's to show them what we can do as Christians. We don't need to get into an argument, or if we're online, a flame war. We can just show what Christians do. So what does the future hold for us? Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. There's going to be rejoicing and celebration. But there are also questions that still puzzle us. The first is, what is this eternal life we talk about in the church? And one commentator I read had a very pithy response to that. Eternal life starts now. We're not trying to get ready for when we die and what happens afterwards. This time matters. And I do not know what's going to happen after we pass away, but we will. But do you want to think of this life as being just an empty prologue to the main show? And what would that say about God and the universe God has fashioned? I believe, as did Paul, that God cares about us in our physical bodies. And nobody can tell us what the afterlife looks like. But we do know what this life looks like. And we do know the world is a pretty good place for many of us, but for others, it's not. And as we enjoy the comforts of our lives here in Lebanon, New Hampshire, we may regret that we're not as wealthy as Elon Musk. Frankly, I have no desire to launch a car into orbit. But we are better off financially and materially than 99.9% of all of the humans have ever lived. And we're doing better than most humans in general alive today. And that is a blessing. Not because God is rewarding us because we're faithful. Because there are people out there living in parts of the world where deprivation is the norm who are as faithful as we are. And you wonder why this God of the prosperity gospel doesn't show up in those places. And some might point their fingers at God for not listening to them. But we need to look at our responsibilities and what we as people need to do, and what we as the church are called to do. And so in today's gospel lesson, We hear a message that Jesus preaches to his disciples, to the apostles, the people he worked with. He wasn't talking to a big crowd. They could have listened in. But he was talking to the people who claimed to be his followers, who would claim to be the church going forward. Think about that. The call of Jesus is liberating, but the call of Jesus is also challenging. And I appreciate those of you who came here this morning. I have to confess, I'm jealous of those of you who are joining us on Zoom today. But it's a Sunday morning. And I feel that this is somewhat against my self-interest to say this, but what are you all doing here on a Sunday morning? You could be sleeping in. You could be watching Sunday news programs. If you're of that mind, you could be playing video games. But each person here, whether in the sanctuary or online, has heard something from Jesus, has somehow been touched by God, and sees there is some value in the Beatitudes. Not spiritualized, not made airy-fairy, touchy-feely, but this is hard-hitting stuff. And Jesus wants us to hear him. The question is, will we? Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of this day, and we thank you for the gift of our community. We thank you for all we have in our lives, and help us to share with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.